Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
An Erio's original.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame? They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Today we're discussing Cinco de Mayo, also known as the Battle of Puebla. Here's what you need to know. Contrary to popular belief, you aren't knocking back frosty margaritas and rocking Party City sombreros every Cinco de Mayo because of Mexico's Independence Day. While Mexico won its decades-long battle against Spain for independence in 1821, Cinco de Mayo celebrates a lesser-known battlefield victory against the French in 1862. Known as the Battle of Puebla, it would represent anti-imperialism, self-determination, and freedom to the Mexican people for decades to come. The transformation from a colony to a self-governing country was slow and difficult. Politically, Mexico was divided into two groups: the conservatives, who proposed to use the old Spanish Catholic model to govern, and the liberals, who sought a system similar to the United States. By 1858, Mexico was still in political turmoil when La Reforma, an all-out civil war between the liberals and conservatives, exhausted the country. When liberal leader Benito Juárez defeated the conservative army and triumphantly entered the Mexican capital on New Year's Day, 1861, he found the country was bankrupt and facing an economic crisis. Many of Mexico's debts were owed to France, England, and Spain, who had financially backed the conservatives in La Reforma. In order to focus on rebuilding and stabilizing its country, President Benito Juárez issued a moratorium in which all foreign debt payments would be suspended for a period of 2 years, with the promise that payments would resume later. Unsatisfied with this arrangement, England, France, and Spain launched an invasion of Mexico to settle their debts. Emperor Napoleon III of France had ulterior motives for the siege. he was hoping to launch a new colonial conquest by overthrowing the government, installing his own regime, and gaining unfettered access to Mexico's resources. The English and Spanish opposed Napoleon's plan and withdrew from Mexico by April 1862. French General Lawrence's urged his troops to press inland toward Mexico City, the nation's capital. To do so, they had to cross through the state of Puebla. Sure of an easy victory, General Lawrence's scoffed. Quote, "We are so superior to the Mexicans in organization, race, and refinement of matters that I am pleased to announce that from this moment on, I can consider myself the owner of Mexico." Meanwhile, Mexican General Ignacio Zaragoza led his ragtag army of 600 men to defend the city of Puebla. The 6,500 French soldiers made three offensive attacks, but they were met with heavy fire and unable to break the Mexican line. As the French retreated to the hills, General Zaragoza ordered his cavalry to attack. Stunned, General Lawrence's withdrew, and Mexico claimed an unlikely victory against one of the strongest armies in the world. Fun facts, aka death stats. Mexican General Zaragoza led an army of approximately 4,500 men, while the French army had around 6,000. The Mexican army had significantly less training, equipment, and experience. Mexican casualties were reported as 83 killed, 132 wounded, and 12 missing. Lawrence's variously reported 462 or 476 killed, wounded, or missing, but some historians have estimated over 1,000 French casualties. In the early 1960s, Cinco de Mayo was promoted by Mexican-American activists as a source of pride during a time of civil rights activism. In 1989, an ad campaign by a beer company sought to commercialize Cinco de Mayo. In 2013, the research firm Nielsen reported that Americans bought more than $600 million worth of beer for Cinco de Mayo, more than for the Super Bowl or St. Patrick's Day. With us today, we have producer Clayton Early.
Hello.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Hi.
And our very special guest today is Jorge Molina. Hi, Jorge.
Hi, all.
Jorge is currently the programming manager at the Los Angeles Latino International Film Festival. He wrote and executive produced the short film Muy Gay 2 Mexicano on HBO Max. He's also the creator and showrunner of the award season murder mystery scripted podcast just to be nominated. Jorge, welcome to The Alarmist.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited. And for rattling off my credits, that's always, you know, a little ego
busy
boost
man
in the morning.
You're gonna have the best day.
Get the weekend kicked off right.
Jorge, so first of all, before I ask you, you know, something I always ask our guests, which is what is alarming you, I just want to know, how do you usually celebrate Cinco de Mayo?
How do I usually celebrate it? Well, it's spent about like 80% of my day telling Americans that it's not Mexican Independence Day. So, you know, it is. But I will say I do, at some point you just kind of have to like go along with it a lot.
Yeah.
So I will engage in margarita drinking. I will, you know, I will not wear sombreros. That's where I kind of, you know, draw my, my line, you know, my pride.
Your moral boundary, kinda,
my,
perhaps.
Exactly. Yeah. That's my line. But yeah, I mean, I actually don't. Unless someone else is doing something, I do not really engage with it because I never did. I'm from Mexico, I should say. Like, I was born and raised over there. That was never, like, one of the major holidays.
Oh, shocking. They don't celebrate it in Mexico like they
well,
do here?
Well, we do in that, like, we do get the weekend off. It is a holiday
weekend.
Oh,
amazing.
But
nice.
In Mexico, everything is a holiday weekend. Like, we just get, like, every other weekend off almost. So it's not, like, that big of a deal to just, like, miss work on a Monday.
That's like Puerto Rico. Christmas is from November to mid-January.
Exactly. Yeah. It's, you know, so it is the fact that, you know, it's in the calendar of every, you know, Mexican household, because, you know, you can, like, sleep in on that Monday, but never really, you know, it's not like actual Mexican independence, like on September, where you do like go all out and stuff. Mm-hmm.
So, Jorge, we like to ask our guests, what is something that is recently alarming you? What is something that's keeping you up at night?
Okay. I mean, we can go real dark with this, or we can go,
dealer's choice, whatever you want.
Pick a thing.
Yeah, it's up to you.
But, I was scrolling on Twitter every morning like I do, and like I always regret doing every morning. Right. And I did see an announcement that Aqua's Barbie Girl will not be used in the trailer for Barbie. And that is very alarming.
Tell they confirmed us more.
It. I love the specificity.
So, you know this trend recently of trailers using like slow down pop songs in order to create a mood and whatnot. Which I personally like. I know a lot of people hate. I think it's cool. I don't know. If I were a trailer maker, I would do that all the time.
Yeah.
And you would think that the one like written one that's like the most obvious is,
feels a little almost obvious. On the nose.
Exactly.
But yeah.
The upcoming, and almost like at that point using it like as ironic, it's like, it's part of the trend. So like you use it. it was, Barbie Girl for the upcoming Greta Gerwig's Barbie movie. And today, the studio confirmed that will not be happening. And alarming.
Do you think? Do you have any projections? Like, what do you think they're going to use?
We need to go back to the drawing board again and see what's happening. this caught me for a loop. I will say that this has thrown my entire week off. So I will need some time to regroup.
Okay. Well, you get back to us. You write us in. Let us know what your thoughts are.
I will let you know. And maybe in a few years you'll be able to make an episode on who's responsible for
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's where my head went.
Exactly. So.
This is Barbie's the perfect transition into Cinco de Mayo, obviously.
I mean, I bet there was some, like, Mexican Barbie release at some point,
I'm sure there were.
If Barbie were a real person, she'd probably love to party on Cinco de Mayo.
Yes, 100%. She definitely would.
She thinks
I'm surprised there's not a Cinco de Mayo Barbie yet.
Oh.
I mean, well, I'm saying that probably is. If you go to, like, the 80s and 70s where, it was Wild Wild West in terms of, representation on merchandise.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, I found a Cinco de Mayo Barbie.
Pray tell.
It's on eBay right now for $224.
Wow.
Oh.
Cinco de Mayo Barbie dolls. Yep.
Wow.
They exist.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay, we won't buy that.
Okay.
Now, I want to start off by, like Jorge said, just clearing up the record, Cinco de Mayo is not Mexican Independence Day. Mm. That is September 16. September 16 is Mexican, is a day commemorating the moment when Father Hidalgo, a priest and leader, called for Mexico's liberation from Spain. That was in September of 1810. Mexican Independence Day coincides with Hispanic Heritage Month, as many in the community celebrate a historical and political mile marker in Mexico's history, the call to rise up against Spanish rule known as El Grito de Dolores, or the Cry of Dolores, is named after the town of Dolores, Mexico, where it was originally made, according to history.com. The 11-year battle that resulted in Mexico's independence culminated on August 24th, 1821, when Spain signed the Treaty of Córdoba, which formally recognized Mexican independence. Finally, nearly three centuries of Spanish colonial rule came to an end. So, just to clarify.
Do you guys think it's because, 16 de septiembre just doesn't roll off the tongue the same way that Cinco de Mayo does?
Perhaps. For us.
I'm just thinking.
I do think it's a branding thing.
So should we put branding up on the board first? Like Jorge mentioned?
Yeah, no. That's
branding problems,
Yes.
Maybe if there was a song that rewrote You know, maybe we could get Aqua since, you know, their song, the Barbie song, is not going forward. Yeah. Maybe they're looking for some more content.
More options. Yeah. More, yeah. You know, why they arrived.
So just to be clear, what is the tragedy we're examining? Is it the confusion around what's celebrated on Cinco de Mayo?
Well, I mean, we're going to be discussing like how the Battle of Puebla, you know, how they defeated, what kind of elements went into, causing, you know, perhaps the war. Just so that we have an understanding. So maybe...
But just so we're clear, we're not saying that the Mexicans pushing the French out of Mexico is a tragedy.
No.
No.
I just want to make sure, you know, we're clear at the outset that that's not what we're saying.
That's true. We're using this as an opportunity to learn about what actually happened in Cinco de Mayo.
Right. Yeah. And why that we had to have this battle in the first place, right?
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, okay. Why the battle?
Because nobody wants to have wars and battles, right?
Yes.
That's the point. We should be avoiding them.
That's our capitalists.
Some people want them. Some people want them.
First, let's put up Checker Bonds.
Tell me all about Checker Bonds.
So, a little background to a reminder. In 1858, Mexico was in the midst of a civil war between the liberals, led by Benito Juarez, and the Catholic conservatives. Both governments attained international recognition, the liberals by the United States and the conservatives by France, Great Britain, and Spain. In 1859, conservative Miguel Miramón seized power in a coup against Mexico's liberal elected government. Okay. That's some background, people. This is according to Emil Sheppers from People's World. They said, Jean-Baptiste Jecker was a Swiss banker operating in Mexico. To finance his regime and his military campaign, Miramón organized a loan from Jecker on terms outrageously unfavorable to Mexico. Miramón's government received only 700,000 pesos up front for the deal, but committed to pay back Jecker and his partners 15 million pesos. This is not right.
That doesn't seem, that seems a little like having too much faith on yourself. And
it sounds like a traditional bank loan or student loan these days, to be honest.
I was going to say, this is
we still use the system, actually, the Jecker bond system.
Yeah.
As if this were not bad enough, Miramón put up vast amounts of Mexican national territory as security. When it was clear that Miramón could not hold onto power and the liberals headed by Benito Juarez were going to triumph against him, Jecker arranged to have himself made a citizen of France. Conveniently, he cut a deal with the Duke of Morny, who was half brother to the French Emperor Napoleon III. The politically influential Duke made the agreement with Jecker to ensure that he would also profit handsomely from his crooked bond deal. When Benito Juarez temporarily back in power refused the deal that Miramón, Jecker, and Morny had cooked up, France saw this as an opportunity to intervene in Mexico. So they saw, you're not going to, stick to the terms of this deal, well, then we're obviously invading you. That's the obvious next step.
So I just love the continuous throughout history, the use of like blatant invasions as interventions, you know, as if it, you know, like an A&E, you know, rehab show. Like we need to, you know, come and like all have a conversation as if you're not, you're just, you know, coming in, taking over and, you know, killing everyone there.
Well, to go back to our analogy, I guess, of like bank loans, like if you can't pay it, they basically just like seize you. You're going to foreclosure, right?
Yeah.
Now, this is ours now. And they just take it.
So
it set an example, I guess.
I mean, there has to be, I guess, that model obviously does not work. Are we like what came first, the chicken or the egg, right? We can't put the foreclosure model on the board yet, right? I don't think it was being used at the time.
Yeah.
Or didn't...
Well, I mean, it's predatory lending.
Predatory lending.
Yeah.
And, you know, the predatory lending came at a time where there was this infighting in Mexico, right? So there was this maybe a power vacuum. Maybe we can put that on the board at the
time.
Yeah,
very much so.
Outside influences were trying to take advantage of. Mm-hmm. I mean, even Mexico sure. We were on the other side. We were on the liberal side.
Yeah, you were on the,
Yes, yes, we were with the liberals.
But I'm sure it wasn't for honest reasons. I'm sure. Well, we'll get into it.
Sure, sure. Well, I wonder what investments America made and what were the terms of those investments.
So we might as well just go ahead and put the United States up on the board.
Sure, let's get to it.
I see Jorge shaking, nodding along.
Yeah, I'm like, maybe you should just keep that on your board permanently. But
there's a place for it.
We always put capitalism, United States, and patriarchy.
Yeah.
Lately, regular human nature.
Human nature. Mm-hmm.
So this is according to historian Kennedy Hickman. In the summer of 1861, President Benito Juarez announced that Mexico would suspend repayment of loans to Britain, France, and Spain for 2 years as he worked to stabilize his nation's finances. These loans had primarily been taken to finance operations during the Mexican-American War and the reform Mexican Civil War. Here's a refresher on the Mexican-American War. This is according to PBS. In 1844, President James Polk ran on a democratic platform that supported manifest destiny, the idea that Americans were predestined to occupy the entire North American continent. The last act of Polk's predecessor, John Tyler, had been to annex the Republic of Texas in 1845. Polk wanted to lay claim to California, New Mexico, and land near the disputed southern border of Texas. Mexico, however, was not so eager to let go of these territories. Polk started out by trying to buy the land. When the Mexican government refused, he sent American troops to Texas in January of 1846 to provoke the Mexicans into war. Jorge, you have a lot to say. Should I continue or should we pause
that's
for a second?
That war is a very sore spot in like Mexican history.
Yeah.
You know, we lost like half our territory, you know, basically all the states that border Mexico, you know, at that point we're part of Mexico. And from what I remember again from my middle school and elementary history classes, I think Texas was kind of a different thing because like they wanted their own independence. They've always been like that, you know. They wanted to like get out, and they kind of willingly annexed a little bit into the U.S. With this, you know, push that you're kind of mentioning.
Yes,
but the rest of it were, you know, California, New Mexico, Arizona, they were all sold by our president at that time. So, you know, we are very, again, it's a sore spot in that, like, you know, we like Adele said, we could have had it all.
That's what Adele's song is actually about.
That is what it is. It's about the sale of, you know, the Mexican states to the U.S. government. She's a history.
She pretends to speak about love.
Yeah.
I also like the idea that Adele, when she thinks about the word "all," she thinks of just Southwest
of California, you know, of you know, Legoland and like Las Vegas. I don't know.
Disney. I mean,
yeah. Disneyland. You know, we could have had Disney and like Six Flags Magic Mountain or whatever it is.
Yes. Yeah, understand.
It feels
so.
Pertinent. It feels like we should bring up just topically that war seems very similar to what is going on right now.
Oh, yeah.
Mm hmm.
In the you're
in
talking
other
about the
parts
Ukraine.
of the world. Yes.
Yeah.
Are you not wanting to say the word Russia? And Ukraine.
Well, because if they're listening, then they might come after us, and then you might never hear another podcast from us again.
I'm not afraid
to contradict their narrative, right? No, but my point is, so it's just like really tragic to hear these stories about how awful we just came in and we provoked people into war, and then we just took land, and then here we are like denouncing this terrible atrocity in Ukraine, and it's like, oh, we've done that.
Yeah. Like yeah, like Jorge was saying, like the intervention obsession. Yeah. So continuing on, when the Mexicans fired on American troops, Polk had the excuse he needed. He declared Mexico has invaded our territory and shed American blood upon American soil and sent the order for war to Congress on May 11th. The act was a questionable one. Some Americans simply thought it was wrong to use war to take land from Mexico. Among those was Second Lieutenant Ulysses S. Grant. Although during the war he expressed no reservations about it, he would later call the war one of the most unjust ever waged by a stronger against a weaker nation. It was an instance of a republic following the bad example of European monarchies in not considering justice in their desire to acquire additional territory. The Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo sealed the American victory in 1848. So I don't know about Grant here. I mean, it seems like he was totally on board. And then after the fact, he's like, oh, no, that was bad.
Well, yeah, after they've gotten what they wanted.
What they wanted, yeah.
I just want to go back to something you said that Jorge said earlier, which was intervention obsession. Is that something we could put up on the board to blame?
Yeah.
Intervention obsession, because at the time it seemed like, you know, the French were trying to scramble and they were trying to intervene. But also there were other countries trying to intervene and into the Mexican situation, I guess, which was a bit, I don't know how you'd put it, but it was fragile or it was.
Well, they were, you're talking about the state of Mexico at the time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They were vulnerable, right? They had just gone through a civil war.
Mm-hmm.
Or they were going through a civil war.
I think they were in the midst of a civil war. They had just, I think the Mexican-American War had just finished. So it was it was a mess.
It was a mess. They took advantage of them during this time, and it was very strategic. It feels
very much so.
So, I do like intervention obsession. It's also like such a. In the future, we're going to look back at this time and be like, oh, it was so clear what they were doing when they were, you know, invading all of these countries or whatever. I mean, I think it's somewhat clear to us right now what's happening now. But like looking back on our history, right, especially here, you know, of the Americas, mm-hmm. It's so obvious, like what they're doing. You know, they're just stealing land.
I feel like you're going to have an opportunity for history to repeat itself once technology advances. Because right now we're just exploring outer space, but once we can occupy outer space and we get to Mars, like these billionaires are planning, then it's going to be people fighting over planets.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, who's to say the same stuff isn't going to happen? It's all about
it. Just continues
owning it.
Happen.
That's me jumping way into the future. We'll be long gone, but I don't have faith that we're not going to do the exact same thing, right?
Mm-hmm. We'll see. I mean, yes, we will be long gone, but we'll see if we even make it with global warming. Anyway,
right. Yeah. I mean, speaking of things, you know, that are alarming,
let's put a pin in global warming. That,
we won't talk about it. Yeah. It's Friday. Come on. Well, we're recording on Friday, but you're listening to this on Tuesday. Now let's also put up the Louisiana Purchase. Journalist Lulu Garcia Navarro of NPR said, in 1862, during the U.S. Civil War, the French army marched toward Mexico City. Emperor Napoleon III was eager to establish a second Mexican empire favorable to the French, an outpost in the New World that would serve as a kind of replacement for all that French land his uncle decided to sell to Thomas Jefferson in the Louisiana Purchase. So the French were trying to...
They had a little chip on their shoulder.
Yes.
Yeah. Feel like very much so.
They were like, ooh, we had a little... I want to go back. It's again, the same thing as Putin with Russia. He's like, he had these territories in Ukraine, and he's like, I want them back.
Right.
So is there something to... old girlfriends or something?
Old
ex-girlfriends? You're like, she was the one that got away.
You want them back.
The one. I mean, you're not wrong. I think that's, you know, that's happening. And I mean, and I don't, you know, spoiler alert for history, but they succeeded. They did establish a second Mexican empire for like a little bit of, I think it was like seven or 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, this is jumping a little toward, but like, even though Mexico won the Battle of Puebla, they did not win that war. And France did establish an empire there, and we had an emperor, which is one of the weirdest facts about Mexico, is that it had a French emperor for like 8 years. So yeah, it is. I think that sentiment of like, yeah, the reestablishing kind of like colonial presence in the new world by Europeans is very much like a motivating factor.
Yeah, I feel like that, like, to speak to what Jorge is saying, like, more like, it's less like, oh, I just missed having that territory, but what did the territory represent?
Yeah.
Like, the power, you know what I mean? Like, the influence in that region, and, you know, this is back.
So, like, a famous,
different
a famous,
times.
A famous ex-girlfriend that you miss.
It's concerning that you think they're the same as territory. it's very concerning.
I'm just trying to personalize it. It has nothing to do with implying.
Maybe we can.
So how do we?
We should put the Louisiana
colonialism, imperialism. Do we blame power?
Well, I was just going to talk about the French imperialism. So maybe let's discuss that, and we'll decide. So as previously mentioned, when Benito Juarez was elected president in Mexico in 1861, he acquired his political opponent's foreign debts. So this is according to United States Office of the Historian. With no other options, Juarez suspended payments on Mexican debt for 2 years. In response, representatives from the Spanish, French, and British governments met in London, and on October 31st, 1861, signed a tripartite agreement to intervene in Mexico to recover the unpaid debts. Although the British and Spanish governments had more limited plans for intervention, Napoleon III was interested in reviving French global ambitions, and French forces captured Mexico City, while Spanish and British forces withdrew after French plans became clear. In 1863, Napoleon III invited Maximilian, Archduke of Austria, to become Emperor of Mexico.
Yeah, our girl, yeah.
Wait, what do you call him?
Oh, I'm like, he's our girl. He's the emperor.
Our also, girl.
That's our girl.
I thought you said you called him Ark.
No.
I was like,
girl.
Awesome name.
No, it's also, yeah, it's also, I mean, a lot of things. It's one really interesting that it's the French and not the Spanish who were our actual previous conquerors that want to like take over. And yeah, I mean, this is basically maybe for another time, but like Maximilian was like, he was useless. He like was like the like nicest, you know, dumb, you know, he was a pawn for Napoleon. So he like didn't know anything about military logistics. He basically just like saw Mexico as his like vacation home for himself, with his wife, Carlotta, I think that was, the name. So they basically just dedicated themselves to like modeling Mexico City after like Paris and nothing else, which, you know, if you go, it's still very much like there's a lot of French inspired architecture and all of that. Mm. And that was from that period. But yeah, I just like that he was completely useless and he was just like, I'm just here to have a good time. And like, it's very like, I'm going to drink margaritas and like wear some
sombreros. It's very Cinco de Mayo.
It's very Cinco de Mayo.
Yes. Can we put Maximilian up on the board?
Let's put Maximilian up there. He and Barbie would have loved Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
You know, the French have a kind of a word called pied-à-terre, which means foot on the ground, but it's like an apartment that's away from your home as like, oh, I just like to have property over there. I don't know if we want to put pied-à-terre up on the building.
Maximilian's pied-à-terre attitude towards Mexico.
That's...
Yeah, so I think there's some like really fun like movie to be told about him and just like how... out of place, he felt. I don't know.
Jorge, please write that movie.
Yeah. I mean, I'm literally like writing it down like my little notebook.
Yeah. Coming. I don't know. We'll give you till 2025.
Yeah. And I will say,
get your act together.
I will use Barbie Girl in that trailer. So it's,
do it.
I can't wait for the scene where he drinks margaritas.
Exactly.
I also want to put the American Civil War up on the board. So. This is according to Frederick Bancroft's The French in Mexico and the Monroe Doctrine in the Political Science Quarterly of 1896. During the time the French were executing these plans of intervention, the Civil War was engrossing nearly the entire physical and intellectual strength of the United States. Historian Kennedy Hickman said in December 1861, British, French, and Spanish fleets arrived off Mexico. While a blatant violation of the U.S. Monroe Doctrine, the United States was powerless to intervene as it was embroiled in its own civil war.
Okay.
So they were
busy.
The United States was busy. They couldn't, I guess, intervene. I'm not so sure as to what this the U.S. Monroe Doctrine stipulated.
Well,
I've definitely heard
of the Monroe Doctrine. I'll go
well,
look
yes,
it up.
But what did it have to do? Because it says here it was a blatant violation. So what was in the doctrine that meant that the United States would have to intervene if something...
It opposed European colonialism in the Western Hemisphere.
Oh, so literally the whole
thing. Yeah.
There you go.
Well, you know, there you go. we've heard of the Monroe Doctrine. Do we know what the Monroe Doctrine is? Now we do. I also want to say that in my research here, I came across the fact that the French wanted the South to win in the American Civil War. I was not aware of that. Everyone's going, whoop.
That's not looking good there, French.
So I'm
they
just...
They picked the wrong...
I put French imperialism on the board because... They're not looking good in this whole story.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, I
never decided on that. So I'm just going to add them.
So is there anything else you guys can think of that we should put up on the board before we start deciding who's to blame? We have Barbie. We have...
Are margaritas up there?
Yes, I believe so.
They're not, but I could
put branding.
Them up,
but... We put branding.
Branding, yeah.
Yes, I feel like branding has to, it encompasses the margaritas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure, yeah.
Okay, so let's take a quick break and then we'll start knocking things off the list.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Okay, who's to blame for Cinco de Mayo or the Battle of Puebla? Is it branding problems, Jecker bonds, predatory lending, a power vacuum, the United States, intervention obsession, Louisiana Purchase, French imperialism, Maximilian, or the American Civil War?
And just to remind ourselves and everyone,
right?
We're figuring out who's to blame for essentially the French invasion. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry, intervention, quote, intervention.
Yeah, parentheses, quote, yeah. You know.
quote, unquote, intervention.
Quote, unquote, intervention. Well, because we mentioned branding problems, I think more of a what's to blame about, like, the misunderstanding of Cinco de Mayo being the Mexican independent. So I think that's a whole different argument. I mean, I think it is the who's to blame, but maybe for another argument. I don't know.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. We'll save branding.
So who's to blame for the way we celebrate Cinco de Mayo? All of the
who's to blame for Jorge's Cinco de Mayo always being ruined by
exactly.
people having to explain to people that it has nothing to do with Mexican independence.
That is a branding problem.
That's the tragedy we'll get into next time.
Okay, Jecker bonds. Okay, now power vacuum. I feel like
go ahead. I was going to say, I think Maximilian can be real scratched out. Like, he was not to blame for anything. He was just...
he just put there for
a vacation.
I don't think he had any agency about it whatsoever. So, like, you know.
Right. And especially if he's going to be this the star of your new movie, we certainly want to get behind him. We don't want him to...
Yeah. That's we want to like our hero.
We want to like our hero.
Yeah. Oh. Sorry, I want to clarify. He would not be the hero.
We have two different movies involved.
It would just be, a fish out of water kind of style. But like, he very much would be portrayed as like the clueless foreigner he probably was. So
yes, I can't wait.
Yeah.
Now, the Louisiana Purchase. Oh, well, French imperialism is... God, this is hard because it's a lot of things that really did...
Contribute.
Because the power vacuum did contribute. Yes, go ahead, Jorge.
I was going to say, I think I'm going to utter a sentence that's rarely been said on history, but I don't know if the United States is to blame for...
What?
For the...
Really?
What?
Yeah, I know. It's shocking. I mean, I don't, I think because they were preoccupied elsewhere with their own problems and like they literally did not have probably the scope to like get it. I think their non-action was what's kind of like.
Right. If anything, it was the Civil War.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, you could say if Mexico wasn't as broke from trying to finance the war with America, then maybe they wouldn't have had to suspend payments. But I'm sure that there would have been another reason for them to try and come back and, you know,
yeah, I mean, I think it was definitely like a factor that added, but I don't know if it was the
root cause.
Yeah. We can shockingly take the United States.
I know that. I know. I'm as surprised as you are.
Can we marry these two ideas of the American Civil War and a power vacuum? I mean, there was a Mexican Civil War going on at the time as well, right? So just the idea that civil wars or being preoccupied in your own country in some way will lead to being vulnerable to from outsiders. I just want to how do we encapsulate that? Do we just call
American war into power vacuum, or are you in a new term for the both of them?
It feels like it's not quite power vacuum yet because there are figureheads or there are fighting parties. Mm. So I guess I'm wondering, it's not power vacuum. It's something like infighting or something like that.
Uh-huh. Which leads to vulnerability.
Yeah. But I'm just trying to figure out how to sort of...
I mean, I wish we could use this as a lesson, right? We should really be thinking about this more and how fighting against each other really makes us vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what that was like. Part of the whole 2016 election was Russia, you know, those Russian bots and misinformation was to create infighting in America to sort of, you know, that's a lot of what you know, those are a lot of the sort of cyber warfare that's being waged is to create infighting. Can't we all just get along?
Then, so then we could be taken advantage of.
Well, Jecker Bond's predatory lending. I feel like, what do we want to blame here? I feel like specifically the Jecker Bonds are more to blame than the actual predatory lending for that.
Sure.
Yeah.
I also think, like you were saying, Chris, the power vacuum we can rephrase as infighting.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Which then leads us to intervention obsession, I feel like can fold into French imperialism.
Yeah.
And the Louisiana Purchase, that is more... That can actually fold into French imperialism as
well. Yeah, that is part of their motivation of like trying to regain kind of this global influence.
So that leaves us with Jecker Bonds, power vacuum, which actually is we're going to call infighting, and the Louisiana Purchase. Now, out of the three of these, we have to figure out what we're going to send to the alarmist jail and what we're going to give the big slap to. And,
there's a slap.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah.
It's very dramatic.
Yeah, no, very topical also, you know.
That's true.
We've been ahead of Will Smith's time for years.
Will Smith
now.
Is possibly a big fan of ours. We don't know.
Oh,
it's
God.
Possible.
Oh God.
Judging
I don't yeah, I don't know if you want to claim
I don't don't associate us with him.
We don't condone real life slapping on this podcast.
No.
I want everybody to know that.
No.
On the record as having said that now.
So here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking French imperialism is what we send to the alarmist jail, and we give infighting the big slap. Is that? Would you say that's?
You know, I've been thinking about
blaming,
this.
Blaming the victim.
If you take out the foreign intervention or foreign sort of interest trying to take advantage of the infighting, you probably have, or you might have, a better outcome, or rather, you know, at least one that doesn't involve warfare. You know, they could have come to terms on an agreement, the Conservative Party and the Liberals of Mexico at the time.
Could they have? I don't know. I don't know if it was at the point of.
I'm just saying the war itself might not have happened. We don't know because foreign influence became such a big factor.
Oh, I see what you mean. So are you saying that.
I'm saying now that I created this item on the board, I'm not sure I feel great about it. Just the infighting within your own country. You should be able to.
Yeah, you should be able to have that dialogue. Right?
Dialogue, you know. That,
yeah.
You
know.
Yeah.
So maybe it's
we
French
definitely
imperialism.
Want dialogue.
Yeah. Yeah. Dialogue over fists and guns. But maybe, maybe it's French imperialism and the Louisiana Purchase gets the big slap.
Oh.
I mean, I know those are like kind of the same, but like the Purchase is what.
How about the bonds? Because that kind of was the don't want to call it an excuse, but that was kind of like the way in which the French kind of like gave themselves a reason to like to justify their quote unquote imperialism.
Yes, I agree.
Or intervention, sorry.
Yeah, I think we do we do give the big slap to the Jecker bonds because that was their way in. That was the what allowed them to, I guess, say to themselves and say to the rest of their country that this is called for.
Yeah. They're not paying back the debt. And this is also us taking a stand against student loans.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Solidarity.
Exactly. So.
Okay. Yes. I'm going to call it. Jecker bonds. You're getting the big slap. French imperialism. You're going to the alarmist jail. It feels really nice when you get to send an imperialist to the alarmist jail.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I like that it's the concept of imperialism and not just, you know, a person. It's just, you know, the sure. whole thing just
right.
goes right. away.
Well, because if there was one person who really like spearheaded that, then
I think even if, you know, Napoleon kind of like was behind, I think it was just a national sentiment.
Yes.
Of trying to recover this kind of like, I don't know, lost glory.
Yeah, it was like years and years of failed attempts or, mm-hmm. you know.
And it was the seller's remorse of having given up the Louisiana Purchase. They're like, ooh, maybe I shouldn't have sold that.
Let this be a lesson. You know, it's like, just move on. Why do you have to keep dwelling on the fact that you perhaps either spent too much money or didn't buy something at the right time?
After I said that I am Sora because we lost all the Mexican territory. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I will take your advice. I will.
Oh, no. That's not what I meant.
It's time to move on, Jorge.
Jorge, still bringing up still California bringing up and Disneyland. That. Adele, no, let it go.
I remember my first week of college. I came to college here, and I had someone in my floor in my dorm that was like a hardcore Texan, like, you know, bleeding. Had the flag on his wall and, you know, that guy. And I did not know about, you know, how deep those sentiments ran. And I dared to bring up that, you know, Texas used to belong to Mexico. and I don't think that man spoke to me ever again in our entire thing.
And you know what? That's okay. You can let him go, too.
No, and that's fine. I, you know, from what I've heard of, like, where life has taken him, I'm glad we are not associated anymore.
Sure.
So,
We're thriving. Thriving. Well, Jorge, thank you so much for joining us today.
No, this was delightful. This was, again, like being back in middle school and just, you know.
And we're spreading the word about Cinco de Mayo, you know? You're helping us spread.
I mean, I'll keep going, fighting the good fight.
Yes.
But, you know, at some point, if I'm, you know, blackout of margaritas by 1 p.m., it's because I've had to explain so many times.
Well, we'll make sure to follow you on Twitter so that we can follow your rant on Cinco de Mayo.
Yes, yes.
And tell everyone what your Twitter handle is.
Yes, my Twitter is at callermejorge. Can find me there.
Yeah.
Either soon or this week, by the time this airs, our program for the Los Angeles Latino International Film Festival has been announced. So if you're in the LA area, the festival will be June 1st to the 5th. So come check us out. A lot of great U.S. Latino and Latino films and shorts from, a great presentation.
Awesome.
Great
program. Yes, we'll be sure to check out. Thank you so much, Jorge.
Please, no. Of course. Thank you for having me. This was like so much fun.
After the Battle of Puebla, the French called in large reinforcements. In a few months, the French army amounted to 35,000 men. In May 1863, Puebla fell to the French, and in early June, the French army entered the Mexican capital. Archduke Maximilian of Habsburg was installed as the Emperor of Mexico. Just 3 years later, he was overthrown by the liberals, and Benito Juarez restored the republic in 1867. Visit our website and let us know who you think is to blame at www.thealarmistpodcast.com and follow us on Instagram at The Alarmist Podcast and on Twitter at AlarmistThe. You can also send us your thoughts via email to thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Today's episode was produced and engineered by Clayton Early, with fact-checking by Chris Smith
and editing by Molly Hockey. Additional writing by Anastasia Kousakis. Thank you to our associate producer and researcher, Alex Paul. The Alarmist is executive produced by Rebecca Delgado-Smith and the Erios Network. Tune in next week. We'll be discussing Psycho, the Norman Bates murders.
Erios.
Powered by Acast.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.